very touching evening for me. You know, several weeks ago, I was in a helicopter crash. They say at such moments, your life flashes before you like a movie. I was knocked out. I didn't see anything. But thank God, I got a second chance to see it tonight.
Uh-oh, okay. Okay. Funny. Okay, I thought I had more than that. Okay, never mind. Anyway, it's Wednesday night. Here we are, Beyond the Airwaves, the Infinity Project, and unless you've been living under a rock for the last maybe 3 or 4 hours, you probably know by now the legendary actor Kirk Douglas has died at the age of 103.
Ooh.
That is a long life. But anyway, the original Attention to One episode tonight was supposed to be School Rules Gone Overboard, but because of this, we're moving that to next month. So we're gonna do this whole hour as a tribute to Kirk Douglas, because let's face it, we got plenty of material on him. Piece of cake. Anyway, I'm your host for tonight. I am Oddball Extreme, and I'm joining the line with two of my crazy cohorts. First, we have Red Ranger Tim. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, my dear.
We also have our AZ Magician. Good evening to you, my dear.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, and we have Sajo in the chat room as well.
Hi, Sajo.
Hey, Saj. Now, let me explain something. We could not do the show last night because I'm going to say one sentence, sick in the stomach, and that's all I'm going to say, okay? I'm not going
to
gross people.
I got two words to describe that.
What's that?
Barf City.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
my.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, me too, because, like, no, we're not going to gross people out at this point. But I stayed home from work today because I didn't want to risk anything, but I am heading back tomorrow, so I am doing much, much better. So we'll have new car smell Tuesday, next Tuesday. If I double up, fine. If not, I'll just highlight some. That's all. Piece of cake.
Well, it depends on how much is out there.
Uh-huh. That's true. All right. Well, anyway, but he died today in Beverly Hills. Now, here's the funny thing. Kirk Douglas, the name he was born, Isor Danielovich Dembski. That's the name he was born under. His born name is Isor Danielovich Dembski.
Kirk Douglas rolls off the tongue a little better.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but anyway, I'm going to start basically with the Wikipedia page. Then we'll find more in-depth stuff a little later. Let's see. Kirk Douglas was an American actor, producer, director, and author. After an impoverished childhood with immigrant parents and six sisters, he made his film debut in The Strange Love of Martha Ivers in 1946 with Barbara Stanwyck. Douglas soon developed into a leading box office star throughout the 1950s, known for serious dramas including westerns and war movies. During his career, he appeared in more than 90 movies. Douglas was known for his explosive acting style, which he displayed as a criminal defense attorney in Town Without Pity in 1961. Now, Douglas became an international star through positive reception for his leading role as an unscrupulous boxing hero and champion from 1949, which won him his first nomination for the Academy Award for Best Actor. His other early films include Young Man with a Horn from 1950, playing opposite Lauren Bacall and Doris Day, Ace in the Hole opposite Jan Sterling in 1951, and Detective Story also in 1951, for which he received a Golden Globe nomination as Best Actor in a Drama. He received a second Oscar nomination for his dramatic role in The Bad and the Beautiful in 1951. Opposite Lana Turner, and his third nomination for portraying Vincent Van Gogh in Lust for Life in 1956, which landed him a second
Van
nomination.
Gogh?
He played Vincent Van Gogh in 1956.
Wow, you're kidding.
No. I have to look that one up. That's interesting. But anyway, in 1955, he established Bryna Productions, which began producing films as varied as Paths of Glory in 1957 and Spartacus in 1960. In those two films, he collaborated with the then relatively unknown director Stanley Kubrick, taking lead roles in both films. Douglas has been praised for helping to break the Hollywood blacklist by having Dalton Trumbo write Spartacus with an official on-screen credit. He produced and starred in Lonely Are the Brave in 1960. Considered a classic, and 7 Days in May in 1964, opposite Burt Lancaster, with whom he made 7 other films. In 1963, he starred in the Broadway play One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a story that he purchased and later gave to his son Michael Douglas, who turned it into an Oscar-winning film. As an actor and a philanthropist, Douglas received 3 Academy Award nominations, an Oscar for Lifetime Achievement, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. As an author, he wrote 10 novels and memoirs. He is number 17 on the American Film Institute's list of the greatest male screen legends of classic Hollywood cinema, the highest-ranked living person on the list until his death today. After barely surviving a helicopter crash in 1991 and then suffering a stroke in 1996, he focused on renewing his spiritual and religious life. He lived with his second wife, Anne Bidens, here's the fun part, 65 years marriage.
Well, both marriages are lucky if they last 5.
Yeah. Let's see. She's a producer until his death today at age 103. A centenarian, he was one of the last surviving stars of the film industry's golden age. Which is true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But boy, he did a lot. But I remember Spartacus. But I had no idea he played Vincent Van Gogh. In fact, I'm gonna send a link that shows you a picture. This is from Wikipedia. This is a picture of Kirk Douglas and Vincent Van Gogh. And I gotta admit, the look is pretty astonishing. Like, that's not bad. That's awfully close. Well, let's see. Oop, try it again.
Wow! Look at the painting of Van Gogh.
And then look at him.
Next to it. That is uncanny.
Yeah. It's like, holy crap.
I'm like, my jaw just went down to my lap.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar to like when Benedict Cumberbatch got cast as Doctor Strange. I looked at, holy crap, that's dead on perfect. Yeah, but let's see. Boy, he's got 90. He has 95 acting credits. Let's see. The last one he did was Empire State Building Murders. Ugh, I'm really tired. Empire State Building Murders in 2008 on television. Let's see. He was in Illusion in 2004. It Runs in the Family in 2003. Touched by an Angel, the TV series in 2000. Yeah, he was in it. In one episode. Let's see. He was also in Diamonds. He was the voice of Chester J. Lampwick in an episode of The Simpsons in 1996. I didn't know that. Let's see. He's also in the video short for Don Henley, The Garden of Allah. And he actually played the devil. Let's see. He was in Take Me Home Again, TV movie. He was in Greedy, The Secret. It was in an episode of Tales from the Crypt in 1991. As General Calthrop. Let's see. He was also in Welcome to Varez, Oscar, Inherit the Wind, the TV movie, Queenie, miniseries. Also in Tough Guys, Amos, Draw, Eddie Malcolm's Run, Remembrance of Love, The Man from Snowy River, The Final Countdown, I remember that one, Saturn 3, Home Movies, no, not the cartoon, this is the movie, The Villain, The Fury, The Chosen, Arthur Haley's The Money Changers. He was in the TV miniseries. Victory
well,
and
he was in the Irwin Allen movies. The Irwin Allen disaster flicks.
I think it was The Final Countdown. No, I don't think.
Well, that wasn't Irwin Allen.
No, Hold on. I'm not sure. Let's see. Once Is Not Enough. Posse, Mousy, Scalawag. Ooh, he was in the TV movie of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in 1973. Let's see. The Master Touch, the Special London Bridge Special. That's redundant. Catch Me a Spy, A Gunfight, A Light at the Edge of the World, There Was a Crooked Man, The Arrangement, The Brotherhood, The Legend of Silent Night. He was the narrator of a 1968 TV movie. He was a guest on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In in 1968. Twice. Let's see. A Lovely Way to Die, The War Wagon, The Way West, Is Ferris Burning, Cast a Giant Shadow. Wow, he was actually in The Lucy Show in 1966. Lucy Goes to a Hollywood Premiere. Let's see. The Heroes of Telemark, In Harm's Way, 7 Days in May, For Love or Money, The List of Adrian Messenger, The Hook, 2 Weeks in Another Town, Lonely Are the Brave. Let's see. The Last Sunset, Town Without Pity, Spartacus, of course. Strangers When We Meet, Operation Petticoat. He actually had an uncredited, he was uncredited in that one as the Welding Seaman. The Devil's Disciple, Last Train from Gun Hill, The Vikings, Path of Glory, Gunfight at the OK Corral, he was Doc Holliday. Top Secret Affair, Lust for Life, as I mentioned, he played Vincent Van Gogh. The Indian Fighter, Man Without a Star, The Racers. Now, I remember this one, the Disney movie, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Because he was Captain Nemo, I remember. Notice it was Ned Land. I thought he was Captain Nemo. No, Captain Nemo was the other guy, Jason something. I forgot his last name. That's it. Thank you. That's right. Kirk Douglas wore the red and white striped shirt. Now I remember. Kirk Douglas wore the red and white striped shirt. Speaking of which,
yeah.
I need to see if that movie's on Disney Plus. I've got to look that one up. Let's see. He was on the Jack Benny program. In an episode, Ulysses, Act of Love, The Juggler, The Story of Three Loves, The Bad and the Beautiful, The Big Sky, The Big Trees, Detective Story, Ace in the Hole, Along the Great Divide, The Glass Menagerie. I remember that doing that in school. Young Man with a Horn, Champion, of course. A Letter to Three Wives, My Dear Secretary, The Walls of Jericho, I Walk Alone, Out of the Past, Morning Becomes Electra, and finally, in 1946, The Strange Love of Martha Ivers. So, but
he
yeah.
Had quite a resume. He had quite a resume under his belt before he passed.
Yes, he did. And to and think about it, making it to 103, that's not easy to do nowadays.
Yeah. How old is Betty White?
98.
Yeah, 5 more years to go to catch up with Kirk Douglas.
Well, I'll put it this way. Tim and I both agree. Grim Reaper better not touch her for 99 and 100.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, we ain't going to do that.
Honey Badger, you better. Somebody, you better leave Honey Badger alone.
Yeah.
Please excuse the paper rattles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, let's see here. Okay, now his parents were Jews from the Russian Empire. I did not know that. Interesting. Very interesting. Alright, let's see. Yeah. Kirk Douglas was born in Amsterdam, New York. And let's see. I found the biography. Actually, see, Kirk. Oh, it's Kirk Douglas's website. Never mind.
Oh, my.
Yes, he has his own website.
Nice star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with that.
He put his footprints in concrete on November 1st,
1962. Yep. All right, well, anyway.
pictures that are on that wiki site.
Yeah, well, anyway, his father, Herschel, known as Harry, worked as a ragman, an occupation immortalized in the title of Kirk's best-selling 1988 autobiography, The Ragman's Son. And Kirk would later name his independent film production after his mother, Bryna. So, Bryna Productions. That's good. And like, and earlier, of course, he was one of seven kids. He was the only boy in the family. So, what did he do? Despite the family being poor, he took up a variety of odd jobs while growing up. He had acting plays in high school, where he excelled in both academics and sports. He worked his way through St. Lawrence University in upstate New York, where he was a prominent member of the wrestling team. Let's see. After graduation, he attended the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City on a special scholarship. When World War II broke out, he joined the U.S. Navy, from which he received an honorable discharge in 1944. While serving in the Navy, Kirk saw a photo of Bermuda-born Diana Dill, a fellow student at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, on the cover of Life magazine and swore he was going to marry her. True to his word, Kirk married Diana on November 2, 1943. The couple subsequently had two sons, Michael, born in 1944, and Joel, born in 1947, before divorcing in 1951. After his discharge from the Navy, Kirk began being cast on the New York stage as well as in radio. Lauren Bacall, another of Kirk's fellow students at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, insisted that film producer Hal Wallace audition him for the Barbara Stanwyck film The Strange Love of Martha Ivers. Kirk was cast and played his role to huge critical success, launching his Hollywood career. Now, I've already mentioned some of the other movies, so I'm just going to skip forward here. Let's see. He was a jazz trumpeter based on Bix Beiderbecke in the movie Young Man with a Horn in 1950. Let's see. Okay, here's an earlier European film, Act of Love, is notable because he married the film's publicist, the German-born Belgian Anne Biden, the following year. And of course they ended up staying married for 65 years until he died. The marriage produced two sons, Peter, who was born in 1955, and Eric, born in 1958. Anne's marriage is notable for its longevity, with the couple celebrating a second recommitment ceremony on their 50th wedding anniversary. That was 2003. Let's see.
How old was Kirk Douglas when he had Michael?
Let me see. 1955. He was 39.
Okay. It's just curious.
Yeah.
I bet you that Michael Douglas, when he was growing up, he had a lot to look up to.
Tommy did. But yeah, let's see. In the year of his marriage to Anne, Kirk appeared in one of his best-loved comic roles as a sailor in the hit Disney live-action version of Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And of course, he starred as Vincent Van Gogh in Vincente Minnelli's film biography Lust for Life, which he did get that Oscar nod for. So it's like, Looks like Doctor Who isn't the only one who had a bit of Vincent Van Gogh. Yeah. Of course, I'll tell you this. When you form your own production company, nowadays it's fairly common. Back in 1955, it had never been done. Or barely ever been done. But yeah, let's see. The Vikings. Let's see. Spartacus 1960. directed by Stanley Kubrick and starring Kirk Douglas in the title role in what is arguably the greatest sword and sandal epic film ever. It was further distinguished by Kirk's insistence that formerly banned screenwriter Dalton Trumbo be credited under his own name, this effectively ending the McCarthy-era blacklist, an achievement Kirk regards as the high point of his career. In 2012, following the 50th anniversary of the film's release, Kirk explored the trials and tribulations behind the making of this classic and breaking of the blacklist in his book, I Am Spartacus. Now, in the 1960s, he started the Douglas Foundation. Let's see, hold on. In 1964, Anne and Kirk established the Douglas Foundation, one of the entertainment industry's oldest and largest private philanthropic organizations. The foundation's work, focusing on health, education, and the disadvantaged, continued unabated. Of course, I mean, it's cool I hear about that. I like that. That's cool. Let's see. Kirk starred in the stage version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and he assigned the motion picture rights to the novel to his son, Michael, who went on to produce a film version that swept the Academy Awards. Let's see. In the 80s, Kirk turned to feature-length television films. He played the title role in Amos, which was the highest rated film for television of its year, and then appeared as William Kimball Bryan in an adaptation of the stage play Inherit the Wind, which won the Emmy Award for Outstanding Drama or Comedy Special in 1988. Let's see. As his books and reflections reveal, even after achieving stardom, Kirk faced his share of adversity and grief. He was seriously injured in a helicopter crash near Santa Paula, California, northwest of Los Angeles, in 1993. I thought it was 1991. He then suffered. Huh?
Opening thing you had at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, it was 91. Let's see. He then suffered a severe stroke in 1996, which impaired his ability to speak, and from which he had largely rehabilitated himself. His youngest son, Eric, died tragically in 2004.
Ouch.
Yeah. All right. While Kirk's never departed from the Jewish faith in which he was raised, he became more deeply involved in Hebraic studies late in life and underwent a traditional, if rare, second bar mitzvah at the age of 83. He is also a proud grandparent seven times over. Kirk has received numerous honors in the United States and abroad in recognition of both his films and philanthropic work. He accepted the American Film Institute's Lifetime Achievement Award in 1991. That was where the clip came from. The AFI also placed him on its list of the top 50 stars of American cinema in 1996. Kirk won an honorary Academy Award for 50 years as a creative and moral force in the motion picture community. And like you said, Janet, Kirk has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on Hollywood Boulevard. One of the few ever to be stolen and replaced.
He must be really popular with people.
Yeah, because when no one's going to take it and such, that's a good thing. I like that. Let's see. In 2004, a street in Palm Springs, California, was named Kirk Douglas Way in his honor. Let me take some water. All right. Sorry about that. All right. In 1981, Kirk was also presented with the Presidential Medal of Honor, the United States' highest civilian award, in recognition of his work throughout the world as a goodwill ambassador to the U.S. State Department. For the U.S. State Department. The French government presented him with the Legion of Honor in 1985. In 2001, he received the National Medal of the Arts at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Of course, it says here on the site, Kirk maintains a busy schedule of film, television, and public appearances. Not anymore. He died. He is the rarest of the rare, a classic film star with immense lifelong impact and appeal. That is the truth. Oh, that is so true. Let's see about this Douglas Foundation, because I've never really heard of it. Okay.
You know what? I bet you really wouldn't want to piss him off.
Yeah, that's true. And there's Eyeshine in the chat room. Hey, Eyeshine. But yeah, I found the Douglas. They have the DouglasFoundation.org website, so it's like, interesting.
What groups do they? Excuse me. What groups do they help?
Well, I'll find out in a minute. Let's see. There's About Us grants. Let's see. The Ann and Kirk Douglas Recreation and Playground Awards, Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, Coach for Kids and Their Families, Cottage Health System, Douglas Family Early Childhood Center at Sinai Temple of Los Angeles, Kirk Douglas Fellowship, AFI Conservatory, Motion Picture and Television Fund, MPTF, St. Lawrence University, the Ann Douglas Center, the Entertainment Industry Foundation's Women's Cancer Research Fund, the Heart Foundation, the Kirk Douglas Theater, and World Stem Cell Conference. So.
Anyway.
Yeah, but that's good.
Provide a really good, really good life.
Yes, he did. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing because there's so much he did. Ah, here we go. U.S. Goodwill Ambassador. Let's see. Mobbed on arrival during a 1963 visit to Brazil, Kirk Douglas was struck as never before by the international impact of his popularity as a movie star. This was reinforced shortly afterward when he attended a film festival in Colombia as a representative of the United States at Bobby Kennedy's request. President John Kennedy, a good friend of Kirk's, then encouraged him to visit foreign countries to talk about the United States. Kirk responded to his country's call, and over 25 years, he, at his own expense and often accompanied by his wife, Anne, had visited dozens of countries in the capacity of U.S. Goodwill Ambassador. These trips have frequently been made under the auspices of the U.S. State Department or the U.S. Information Agency. The message he attempted to convey can be most succinctly stated in his mother, Bryna's words, "America, such a wonderful country." The year 1964 was especially active. That winter and spring, Kirk and Anne toured India, Thailand, and the Philippines, following a visit to a divided Berlin whose infamous wall had been constructed shortly before. That autumn, they went to Yugoslavia, where they met one of Kirk's biggest fans, that country's ruler, Marshal Tito, before continuing to Greece and Turkey. Kirk's activities as ambassador without portfolio continued throughout several Republican as well as Democratic administrations. In 1981, President Jimmy Carter presented Kirk with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, America's highest civilian award, in recognition of these activities.
Whoa. Sounds like he knew what he was doing when he stood.
Yep, he did. He sure did. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. Excuse me. Got me started.
Sorry.
Oh my.
Yeah. Ooh. That's really interesting. Oh, go ahead.
Kirk Douglas was one heck of a man. And
yeah.
I don't think that you heard any scuttlebutt about him. Like you do now.
Not really, no. Yeah, I don't recall any scuttlebutt on him. You're right.
You know, think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, listen to this. Kirk Douglas's home in the old Las Palmas neighborhood in Palm Springs has been given historical status by the Palm Springs City Council.
I wonder how much is it worth?
It's a $3.5 million home.
Well, that answers that.
Yeah. But anyway, the Palm Springs home that once belonged to legendary actor Kirk Douglas has been awarded historic status by the Palm Springs City Council. This was on Monday, January 13th, it was posted on January 10th, which was Friday. So.
Yeah, in January or February?
January, last month.
Okay.
Yeah, it was last month. Anyway, on Thursday, which I believe is the 9th, the City Council voted 5-0 to designate the home as a Class 1 historic site. It will join a list of more than 100 historic homes and structures in the city that possess Class 1 or Class 2 historic status. Built in the early 1950s on West Violola in the old Las Palmas neighborhood, the home was owned and occupied by the Star of Spartacus and Lust for Life from 1959 to 1999, according to the city. With the historic designation, the property owner may now apply for a Mills Act contract that could lead to reduction in property taxes. The designation also ensures a citizens group must weigh in before significant changes are made to the home's exterior. Don't change it. Don't change it. The home, which is located about a block west of Palm Canyon Drive, qualified as a historic site, according to the city, since it had historical integrity and association with a significant person and possessed certain design characteristics. The Diane Budman Bald Family Trust, which purchased the $3.5 million home in 2016, sought the designation. When it was on the market in 2016, the listing agent, Jim Schweitz, with Benny and DeVille Homes, said of the home, "There are a lot of houses in Las Palmas that are million-dollar celebrity homes, but very few estates with famous architects and iconic celebrity ownership that have been maintained with the integrity of the period." Designed by Donald Wexler and Richard Harrison, the home was one of their earliest commissions, according to the city. The Douglas home featured many of the designer's iconic tenants, minimal use of materials, post and beam construction, and roof eaves protecting large expanses of glass from the sun. It was originally built for Robert Howard, then owner of the Colony Palms Hotel. It was sold to Douglas a few years later. One wing of the nearly 4,000-square-foot house has four en-suite bedrooms. Another, separated from the living room by butler doors, includes a kitchen refurbished in the 1980s and another bedroom. After purchasing the home, Douglas added a carport, pool, spa, pool house, and gym. One of the home's most stunning features is the tennis pavilion, which was added in 1976 and designed by Wexler and Michael H. Morrison. In addition to featuring unique features, the house also has ties to old Hollywood stars. In 2016, then-listing agent Schweitz called one of the home's bedrooms Kate and Spencer room, since Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy allegedly had an affair there. Okay, really? Let's see. Frank Sinatra also occasionally cooked meals in the home's kitchen. A gate was installed between the Douglas home and the adjacent home that formerly belonged to Dinah Shore so the guests could go back and forth. There's even a plaque on the Douglas side that describes Shore's tennis court as the Douglas B Court. In 2016, when the house was on the market, longtime real estate agent Nelda Linsk described its location as being one of the most sought-after neighborhoods in Palm Springs. It's considered the Bel Air of Palm Springs. People that live in Palm Springs want to live in Las Palmas, Linsk said, adding that the south side of Violola, where Douglas lived there, when Douglas lived there, was known as Millionaire's Row. Historic site preservation has been going on for decades in Palm Springs. In 1981, the City Council created the Historic Site Preservation Board, which identifies potentially historic sites and districts. The city's historic site and district ordinance preserves certain areas to promote civic beauty, strengthen the economy, and promote the use of specific buildings for the education and welfare of the citizens of Palm Springs. Pardon me while I get some water. That's better. Yeah. To ensure historic homes aren't permanently altered, owners wishing to substantially alter the home's exterior must complete an architectural application and have it approved by the preservation board. And that's the end of that story. So it's like, despite the fact he died and all, at least there's plenty of things out there to, And by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, he has his own theater.
He's a man, he was very versatile.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very versatile.
Yep.
You gotta hand it
yep.
to him.
Yep. The Kirk Douglas Theater is a 317-seat theater located in Culver City, California since 2004, and it's operated by the Center Theater Group. So yeah, Culver City. It's also said 1 hour ago in the Los Angeles Times, Kirk Douglas Theater will dim its lights in honor of its namesake. So that's good. Let's see. All right. Speaking of which, the next two performances are on Friday with What Can I Do to Build a Racially Just Society, and then on Sunday, February 23rd, Until the Flood.
All right. Wow, we covered quite a bit. 35
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, so far so good. And guess what? I actually found the link to the Kirk Douglas Theater itself. This is pretty cool. I like this.
Can you put it in the chat?
It's in there now. It's in there now. But yeah, the Kirk Douglas Theater, located in downtown Culver City, is our home for adventurous new work. It's where we do the most world premieres, play with conventions, and take risks, feeling an all-encompassing experience. Let's see, and it's basically how to get there and so forth. Good news is there are a whole lot of eateries around it, so.
Yeah.
But that'd be kind of a cool place to go.
Now, this title sounds interesting.
What is it?
Starts Friday. What can I do to build? It's a community conversation. What can I do to build a racially just society?
Yeah, it's a play. It's a play.
It's not a play. It's a community conversation.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, I mean he was always good about that. He wanted to do something. As much as, success is like he said. Well, actually, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to wait for the, should I wait for the end or play this now? Because, no, I'll wait till the end.
Oh, my.
Huh?
That I wish more restaurants would do.
What's that? What?
There's a restaurant called Akasha,
mm-hmm.
and it prepares new American food that's from farm to table.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then they have
Italian,
cool. Latin.
Mm-hmm.
Pub food. Pizza. Chinese American.
Yep. There's a block party coming to the Kirk Douglas Theater March 18th through April 19th.
It sounds like it's as long as the local Renaissance Festival.
It probably is. Let's see. The biggest curtain call for Los Angeles returns to Douglas for a fourth season with Block Party 2020. Join Center Theater Group in applying the talent, diversity, and ingenuity of our community of 250-plus Los Angeles theater companies. Okay. Gotcha. We're excited to promote recent productions from two intimate L.A. theaters showcasing their outstanding work at the Kirk Douglas Theater. So, in other words, the Block Party has to do with, you know, all these theater companies that have involved. It's like, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, because a lot of people nowadays don't show an interest in the theater, especially the young people.
Yeah.
Just think about it.
Well, they say they don't know what they're missing.
To a young person that went to a play.
Mm-hmm.
Or a stage show.
Right.
That's the way I think about it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. There's a couple plays going to be at this theater. First is the Art Couple from March 18th through 29th. Let's see. In this absurdist comedy, playwright Neil Simon is desperately seeking inspiration. He finds it in the real-life Odd Couple story of Vincent van Gogh and Paul Gauguin's ill-fated cohabitation in the south of France. Filled with gut-punching poignancy, this strikingly clever new play explores the lives and work of struggling artists before they were famous or lose an ear. As Paul and Vincent argue about art and Neil wrestles with his narrative, the Art Couple offers a hilarious look at the world of art, the price of genius, and the difficulty of having a roommate.
Yeah, that's the way the Odd Couple was.
Yeah. And then we have Canyon from April 8th through the 19th, set in the Southern California Canyon. This timely new play from Ovation Award winner Jonathan Caron revolves around a young married couple and the Mexican father and son who work for them. When a debilitating injury rocks all of their lives, tightly held morals are put to the test with potentially catastrophic results. Canyon is a sharply observed and suspenseful dark comedy that takes a hard look at gender, race, citizenship, and the cost of living the American dream. So that's not bad at all, because let's face it, it's hard to live the American dream. It's not that easy. It isn't that easy.
No. No, it is not.
Mm-hmm. Let's
see. You get
all
these people that come to America looking for the dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, listen to this. Here's something we didn't know. Because he was only about 5'9" tall, Douglas often wore lifts in his shoes on screen to make him look taller.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Let's see.
Excuse me.
Let's see. He was to have starred with Sylvester Stallone in Rambo First Blood, the initial movie in the Rambo series, but left after Stallone rejected his suggested script changes.
Sounds like he was a take-charge kind of guy.
Yeah. Let's see. A 1996 stroke left Douglas with slurred speech and damaged facial nerves. It did not, however, keep him from attending the Academy Awards 2 weeks later to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Good for him.
Yep. Yeah. I wonder if, let's see. No, it's Jack Powell. It's not Kirk Douglas. I'm thinking the wrong thing. I thought he was in City Slickers. Like, no, that's Jack Powell. It's not Kirk Douglas. Never mind.
Although, like, with the squinty eyes, they do look kind of similar.
Yeah. That's true. But it seems like, you know, now I want to go check Disney Plus and see if they've got 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Yeah, you know, I just want to see if they got it. Oh, okay, let's see. Where can I do me a search? 20,000. Oh my gosh, it's there! Yes! Yep, there's Kirk Douglas wearing that red and white striped shirt! Oh yeah, and one thing that makes this program is presented as originally created, it may contain outdated cultural depictions. In other words, they've left it alone.
Right. They didn't edit anything out.
Yeah. It's like when the Looney Tunes are putting out their tunes. They say, you know, this is it's reflective of a time that wasn't so good then. It's not that way now. But you know, taking it out would be like, say, taking
it'd be
out
like
the super.
One of your fingers. You
yeah, exactly. Mhm. Exactly. But yes, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is on Disney Plus, so good.
You'll be watching it, won't you?
Yeah, I may watch it this weekend. I may watch that this weekend. Ow, 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 ow. Sorry, itchy. But. excuse me. I still can't believe he made it to 65 years of marriage. That is not an easy feat.
No.
No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
And him and his wife probably have an opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Like any good marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like Janet said, you're lucky if they last five. Some cases, they barely last one.
How about the marriages that last a week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or a day.
Yeah, sometimes it can last just a day. Which is kind of crazy. But yeah, I thought Kirk Douglas was the captain. It's like, no. I remember he had the red and white striped shirt. So that's good that movie's still there. Excuse me. Okay, well, I think we covered just about everything possible about Kirk Douglas. Not bad. 45 minutes on the dot.
Yeah, not bad.
Mm-hmm. So we can devote the last 15 minutes to whatever. And now I'll tell you this. We usually do not like to do politics, but I will just say this right now. The impeachment process is over, okay? He's been acquitted. Yeah, he's been acquitted like I knew he would be because here's the thing. For those of you who don't know, if he was going to get convicted, it would have to take at least 67 senators to do it. They only had 48. I already knew this was not going to happen. So I feel like this was kind of pointless.
And you know who acted like a flippin' baby? Pelosi.
Yeah.
She
did.
She was taking all those cases sitting there, and then she took a copy of the papers and tore them up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was totally unprofessional.
I agree.
It's also not professional for him not to shake her hand.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if you're going to slam Pelosi for something that I don't see is wrong, then you need to slam Trump, too. For
you
the
know
same
what?
Reasons.
I'm going to slam that whole political process because it was a sham to begin with.
It was a sham to begin with.
Why
there is no trial without witnesses and evidence.
Why did they even bother then? Is what I would like to know. Why in the hell did they even bother?
Well, here's the thing. The Senate didn't do its job. That's you know, there is no trial in this country of any kind, and I mean political or otherwise. In no trial is the defense allowed to coordinate with the judge and the jury prior to the trial. That is not allowed. I don't care if ultimately the truth comes out that the defendant was innocent. Doesn't matter. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, it's not the Senate's job to find witnesses and all this other. No, it's not. But you know what? They held a vote on it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And what Republicans don't understand, aside from the fact that they act extremely childish, and I don't mean you, Shirley, I mean people that aren't true Republicans, is that if Trump was innocent, or if they believed he was innocent, let them talk. It's like the old adage says, if you've got nothing to hide, why are you worried about it?
Mm-hmm.
If he believed that John Bolton or Mulvaney, or even Giuliani would have or could have exonerated him, let them talk. Yet, he obstructed the process every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Really makes you wonder, doesn't it? And if you look on Facebook, you'll see a lot of people saying that he's been exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, he hasn't. You have to understand what the word exonerated means. He was acquitted of the charges.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean he's innocent.
Right.
That means they did not have sufficient cause in their belief to convict. Hmm. It's like when the Mueller report came out and he announced to everybody the Mueller report vindicated him. Well, if you actually read the Mueller report, that's not what it said. What the Mueller report said was they did not find sufficient cause to charge him, but they could not exonerate him. That means something happened that was wrong. Same thing here. And furthermore, you can't really scream exoneration when the jury, after the fact, says, oh, well, yeah, we're convinced he's guilty. No doubt about it. It's just not impeachable, so we're going to acquit him.
Hmm.
If he's guilty, if you believe he's guilty, then it's your obligation to convict, because that's what the evidence says. That is not what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
This entire trial was a sham or a
yep.
cover-up. And they say, well, the House didn't do its job. The House tried. They invited Trump to come in and testify. They invited people to come in and testify, and they refused. What else would you have them do? They can reach out and invite the House come home. But if Trump refuses to do it, well, that doesn't mean the House didn't do its job. What this does, regardless of who you support or don't support, is it sets a very, very dangerous precedent for this country going forward.
Mm-hmm.
When Trump is out of office, the next president now has legal grounds to come in and do whatever the hell he wants. In my opinion, as a student of history, our founding fathers are rolling around in their graves because of what happened today. This wasn't a trial. This was a sham. Everybody got conned, and there are going to be consequences to pay for it. Am I upset that this happened? No, because I, like everybody else, knew they were going to acquit him. The minute they stepped forward and said, we're not even going to bother convicting him, I stopped on that route.
Mm.
But you know who ultimately is going to face judgment for this?
Mm.
Those 52 senators who acquitted him.
Oh, yeah.
Politics isn't kind, my friend. America's watching. And now it's no longer just Trump that's within our eyesight. It's those 52 senators. Ran over.
Mm. Yep, before we head to the state of Georgia, I'm going to make sure it's done.
You stick a fork in it, it's done.
Yep. Stick a fork with me, I am done. Not with the show yet, but you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah,
but
we know.
Yeah, in the meantime, we got a bit of a weather issue here down the south again. It's already been raining 3, 4, 5 times tonight here in Montgomery. So we got a bit of we have a flood alert, but thankfully my house is elevated. So my house is elevated, so I should be all good. But I did hear the reports of tornadoes in Mississippi. Well, it seems like Mississippi's sending a tornado magnet now too.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. The weather has been wonky all winter long.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Find one more quickie story here. Okay, the law, the tornado. Okay, now this is from my area.
The tornado watch has been canceled for all of central and south Alabama as the first cluster of storms lifts north and shows no sign of rotation or damage. This is good news. However, we're not out of the woods completely just yet. We still think that more storms will fire later tonight into early Thursday morning. These will be an environment capable of producing isolated tornadoes and wind damage. If possible, it's possible, if not likely, that another tornado watch will be issued for Alabama later tonight. So far, so good, but we may still have severe weather later. That's usually how it works. It always has to be about 2 rounds. So. If Trump is on... Oh, here's a good one. If Trump is on the ballot in November, then what do we do? Sheriff, you think Elmo would make a better president than Donald Trump?
You know who else would make a better president than Donald Trump?
Who?
And yes, I am going to get booed for saying this. Alf.
No,
Alf.
I wouldn't be. Alf. Remember him?
Alf.
How can we forget Alf?
Alf for president 2020. Make it happen, people.
Oh. Got that right. Let's see. Let's see. I don't think there's anything else. Oh, well. At this point, that's fine. We're down like 3 minutes, 38 seconds anyway. But, anyway, in a nutshell, of course, tomorrow, of course, is the Thursday free-for-all, and Friday is the all-out review and naughty Mad Lib show. Yes, we shall bring all the naughties once again. And then, special thing, next Wednesday we're going to do the review, which means next Friday, Valentine's Day itself, February 14th, 90 minutes, naughty Valentine's Day Mad Libs.
Woo!
In other words, we're gonna swell your heart and make you laugh so hard you can't stand it.
Oh, I'll tell you what, we're gonna laugh so hard we pee ourselves, huh?
Yeah, probably. Laugh so hard your face will be hurting. Your face will be hurting. You'll be tears coming out of your eyes. Oh, here's me. Okay, here's a good one to end the night. Coronavirus gone global. It's time to take the car, go to Mom's house, kill Phil, sorry Phil, grab Liz, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
Hey, good one. Whoever
I'll take
that.
Let's see. All right. Well, good. We got 1 minute and 50-something seconds left, so I'm just going to go ahead and start saying it right now. Please remember to follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and follow us at our website, beyondtheairwaves.weebly.com. If you ever miss an episode, because let's face it, life does happen, there are 3 ways to catch up. First, there's the Stitcher.com app available on iTunes, Google Play, and the Amazon Kindle Store. Second, you can listen to or download full episodes of the show from blogtalkradio.com. Give us a couple of months. We're going to try to get the Spreaker. I promise you we will. We're working on it. Let's see. And then you can also find us on iTunes. Just do a search in the podcast or be on the airwaves, and you'll find many of our episodes there. So, with that in mind, I'm going to say love, peace, and chicken grease. Everybody have a great night. Sleep well. Stay safe, especially if you're in the rough weather. And I'm going to leave you with another part of Kirk Douglas' speech from 1991.
Now, at the beginning, I was like Champion, trying to punch my way to success. You see, George, it was easy for me to say a line like, I don't want to be a hey you all my life. I want to hear people call me Mister. But it took me a long time to realize you can't chase success. The harder you run after it, the more it eludes you.
And that is the absolute truth. All right, so anyway, that's all for tonight. Have a great night. And we'll lighten it up with this.
You m***. I almost had him. I had him. I almost had him. You stuttering prick, you.
Shut up!
Let's see. Then, of course, this.
I'm Groot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Groot. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I'm Groot.
Oh, shit!
And finally, last but not least, if I can find it, hang on. Yeah. Hold on, I'm trying to find it. Let's see. There it is, found it.
We are going to make America great again.
No. No. No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No. Hell no. No.
No.
No.
No.
All right. That's it. Everybody have a great
night.
Yeah, have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. Night, y'all.
Take care, everybody. Jana.
Buenas noches, mis amigos.
Jana.